Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen, we are in a spot where every question that could be swirling around Shador and the Browns is currently swirling around Shador and the Browns. Every single thing that could be asked at this point has been asked. And we've gone through, we've talked about, whether or not he's being set up or being put into a fair situation and everything else. I thought it was interesting today to hear a little out-of-the-box type of view, right? Like, I'm sitting around, I get into the studio and I'm listening to some audio, and I always see this as, again, an opportunity for Shador to at least go out and prove himself to, if nobody else, the fans of, hey, this is why you should be excited to see me, or this is probably why I'm running with the third strings and I am the, fourth string quarterback right now, as everybody can see it in camp. It is largely on his shoulders, but I did think there was, at one point today, we went a little bit too far. And that was Jason Fitz of Yahoo Sports laying up what he thinks is a lose-lose situation for the Browns. Let's take a listen.
This is, to me, the ultimate lose-lose for the Browns. Let me be clear. I'm not anti-Shador. In fact, I'm rooting for Shador at this point. I think the narrative has gone so far the wrong way on Shador. I would love Shador to come in and absolutely crush it. But this is a lose-lose for the Browns, because if he goes in and he's absolutely terrible, it only feeds everybody that wants to find a reason to hate Shador Sanders. So that's negative portion number one. Also, understanding that he's coming off of missing time with a sore shoulder. How many reps has he really gotten with everybody? Like, all of these things are going to make it difficult. Then the other side of it is, if he comes in and absolutely crushes it, if he just nails everything you could possibly ask him to nail, well, now the Browns are going to be in an even worse PR situation, where the world is going to expect massive changes to their depth chart based on the limited amount of actual film we're getting on Shador. So now, all of us sitting in front of a microphone, everybody on Twitter X is going to start just yelling at the Browns about 20 plays, 25 plays, that we're supposed to use as more weight than any of the practice.
Now, I don't disagree with Jason necessarily. Like, I don't think the Browns are in a good position with what happens with Shador, because I agree. Like, if he looks bad, it's just going to create buzz around the Browns being, here's the Browns quarterback that they drafted, who somehow, some way doesn't look good. Shocker. Despite him being a fifth round pick, but because of who he is and everything that goes into it, that's going to be the narrative that comes out of it. And the Browns are going to deal with that backlash. But of course, he goes out there and, if he somehow plays out of his mind, people are also going to be looking at the Browns and handing off backlash of, yes, should this team really have him as the fourth guy on the depth chart? What are they doing? They have no clue. How are you not giving Shador more reps? And they're going to be expected, as Jason laid out, to make drastic changes to the depth chart. Now, I can look at the Browns and say lose-lose. I also think I could flip that around. Sure, it might be a lose-lose for the Browns. I think it's probably a bigger lose-lose situation in one aspect for Shador Sanders. Like, everything that's been put onto you, yes, it affects the Browns, but for Shador, if you go out there and play terribly, you essentially get thrown into a situation where you confirm the biases of, well, clearly he wasn't ready, here's the things that went wrong, and that could be from a fan perspective, an outside perspective of just an NFL fan, or it could be within the building, right? They clearly think he has things to work on. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist here. I'm not telling you they're pitting anything against Shador and rooting against him, but there's clearly biases within the building and the coaching staff right now that he's just not quite ready, whether they're right or wrong. A poor performance would, you know, only help solidify those and back them into being what they think is true. But I also think you go and look at it, if Shador plays well, what does that really show to anybody? Like, are the Browns going to make drastic changes just because Shador plays well in one preseason game? I don't think that they are. They don't have any reason to go switch up the depth chart just because, oh, well, you know, Shador played well and now we have to give him extra reps. So it's almost as if to avoid the very worst that could happen, of course, Shador's going to want to play well, but it's not like there's a winning scenario here. It's not like there's anything he can do to make a drastic impact other than get rid of the ball quickly and hopefully, you know, try to prove the Browns wrong in some of the things that they saw. But in a lot of ways, it's going to be where you're going to take very limited reps against the first team defense of Carolina, and then you're going to be going up against backups and third stringers, which, guys, we've seen in preseason football where guys play absolutely incredible. I mean, DTR, I think, is the most glaring prime example. He might have been the greatest preseason quarterback of all time. That guy went out there and looked like he was going to be an absolute stud. And then he stepped into a regular season game, three of them, and you looked at him and went, wow, that guy doesn't know how to play football. He couldn't move the ball on the field, and he couldn't get it up into field goal range, probably if it was traffic cones on the defense. He would still find a way to throw incomplete passes and get tripped up and get tackled. That's the way it felt when he was playing at times. I might be being a little harsh, but it did feel that way. So it might be a lose-lose for the Browns, but I'm also looking at this as almost a lose-lose for Shador, too. It's almost as if nobody on the Browns, at least from the offensive side and the quarterback spot, really benefits from anything that happens on Friday. Which is why, like, they're not setting up Shador Sanders, right? Like, again, we've gone over this. It's not happening. They're looking for success. They're looking for reasons to be positive about him. But the only positivity that you really get is, oh, he's looked better, and he has to still go work on stuff. The Browns have said they care more about training camp. Kevin Stefanski has come directly out of his mouth that they put more stock into training camp, and they put more stock into joint practices than they do any of the preseason games. Yes, get the guys ready, get them out there, have them put on a uniform, go through game reps, but at the end of the day, it is going to be a lot of second stringers and a lot of third stringers playing in the game for a majority of it. So I don't know how much they're actually going to pull away, and I just don't know how much Shador's actually going to be able to impact where he stands in the eyes of the Browns from a preseason game. Like, they did act dramatically and make DTR the backup, right? Dan Lobby told us that last night. It was like that was the only instance. He's kind of the outlier where most of the time this doesn't really play a role. A preseason game wouldn't change anything, but DTR did play well enough in the preseason and throughout training camp that they were like, yeah, you're going to be the backup quarterback. But typically, that's not the way that it flies. So I think Shador only has really a ton to lose and almost nothing to gain. Playing well in a preseason game, I know the Browns are going to look at it, but hell, even some of us are going to sit there and look at it and go, okay, congratulations, you tore up the second and third stringers of the Carolina Panthers. And there's still going to be a rebuttal. Oh, if he looks great on the first drive against the first team, well, is that a Kevin Stefanski script? Because we know first drives from Kevin Stefanski are practically like the hottest thing on the shelf that you can't just wait to get your hands on and buy because it's nearly always a score. So is that Kevin Stefanski scheming something up or is that Shador coming out and playing well? So there's always going to be the rebuttal to it. I think if Shador doesn't play well, it's only going to hurt him and there's just no room to go up. So yes, I think it's lose-lose situations all around. Like, I don't know that you really lose if you're Shador, but you certainly don't gain. And do the Browns have something to lose? I mean, not really. Like, again, it might be a lose-lose scenario, but what are you actually losing out from? Other than, oh, well, people are going to come at us either way. Well, congratulations. You've had Shedeur Sanders on the roster for like 4 months now. They haven't stopped getting into your mentions and talking about you across the national landscape. That's always been there. It might just intensify very slightly. It's still going to be, they're talking about us every single day. They're talking Shedeur Sanders every single day. And we're either stupid and wrong or people completely agree with us. And there's no middle ground. So I really don't see this as a big deal for the Browns other than what the media is going to say back to them. Which, if Kevin Stefanski has proven to me anything, it's that he really doesn't care what the outside noise says. Like, if he hasn't proven that to you prior to this year, I think they've certainly proven it to you through the offseason of everybody making noise on Shedeur, but he still goes out there and throws to equipment managers, ball boys, the third team. I mean, if he's throwing to Sal Cannella, it's not like he's taking reps with Jerry Jeudy, okay? And it's not because he's listening to the noise of, oh, they're trying to shut Shedeur Sanders down, they're trying to block him out. No, they're worried about getting him where he needs to be, and that still remains the main focus. So I'm trying to find where the Browns really lose out in this other than the media flies at them. It feels like it's Shedeur who, to me, is in this bigger lose-lose scenario. I want to see him go out there and play well. I want to be overreactionary if he plays well, right? Like, I want to be able to come out and be like, oh, Shedeur's great. He has earned more reps by playing in this game. I also know for a fact I'm not going to be able to do that. Like, I might react to some of the plays that he make. I might tell you that he played well. I also know from, if we just watch preseason football, Trey Lance looked like a god against the Detroit Lions in the Hall of Fame game. I still have no faith in Trey Lance. I still think he's a bum of a quarterback. There's a reason he's third on the depth chart for the Chargers, sitting behind Justin Herbert. Like, nobody picked him up with the idea of like, maybe something, you know, former first round pick. No, he's still bad, even if he played well. Because you're playing against other, you know, suboptimal players, to put it nicely. You just aren't going to be able to show anybody what you truly have. We'll all be looking for it. We'll all be overreactionary and overanalyze it, I'm sure. But it's just not going to bring any positive notes, anything really positive to build off of for Shedeur Sanders. It's why I think he's in the bigger lose-lose. 216-474-0092. Who's in a bigger lose-lose tomorrow? Is it the Browns or is it Shedeur Sanders? You can also get to me on X, at VulnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty coming up for you guys tonight. We're going to talk Guardians at the end of this hour. And of course, as we roll around to 9 o'clock, we'll get to Get a Grip, as we always do. We're also going to talk to Nick Carboni, the sports director over at WCNC in Charlotte. Was out at joint practices yesterday. Got to watch Shedeur, got to watch the Browns, and got to see the entire battle go down back and forth. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the game coming up here tomorrow night. That's coming your way at 9:20. We'll bring in Michael in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Who's in the bigger lose-lose scenario to you? Is it the Browns or is it Shedeur Sanders? We're going to get to your calls as well. More on this and more what you're going to be looking at from Shedeur come tomorrow in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Again, I feel like there's not really much of a debate on this. I just don't see much of the lose-lose from the Browns. Like, I get it. From a media perspective, if you are an overreactionary organization, which the Browns have certainly been in the past, I think that you have a real gripe with everything that's happening, and you'd be genuinely feeling like you're in a bad spot. Right now, it's like Kevin Stefanski's going to block out the noise. They're going to run camp the way that they want to. I refer back to what Dan Lobby talked about yesterday when he was on with us, which he will be every Wednesday at 9:20 moving forward through the football season. Dan laid out the fact that it's like, what really could happen for Shedeur? Like, you're going into this game, you have a practice on Monday, and then it's directly to Philly. And then you're back in joint practices where you're going to see plenty of Joe Flacco taking on the Eagles and then the rookies and maybe Kenny Pickett at that point. Who knows? That's all still up in the air. We'll have their opportunity in the preseason game. But as of right now, you're not going to do anything drastic. You're not going to make changes. There's just not any room for it. So bad play from Shador only hurts you and good play doesn't really help you. I don't see how that's a great scenario. But there's also the very simple question floating around of just what are we expecting from Shador Sanders tomorrow, right? Because I do think that as much as I don't feel like I'm going to be able to get overreactionary over how he plays, I mean, we'll talk about it. I'm sure if he plays really well, I'll feel in my heart that, yes, Shador Sanders should be getting more opportunity. Because I do think preseason, at least a little bit of how you play, is going to matter. As long as you don't just end the game, look at the box score and go, well, Shador threw 23 passes and completed 18 of them. How is he not getting more reps? Like, I do think you have to break it down a little bit more than that. I don't think you can just leave it up to, well, look at the stats and you can base everything off it. I'm not even looking to see necessarily what Shador's arm is. I kind of know what Shador's arm is. I know what his accuracy provides. I know that, you know, despite not having great arm talent, incredible arm talent, he's got good arm talent. I know the throws he can make. You're going to have to be watching for the little things. How quickly is he getting the ball out? Is he holding on to it too long? That's going to be something that's blatantly obvious. But I have to imagine that's what the Browns are looking at too. Right? Like, I can expect greatness, but I'm really just looking for you to make the right pre-snap adjustments. Do everything that you need to.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was very nice today, though, on the Kevin's Fancy Show, the coach's show. Prior to ours, it ran 7 to 8 leading up to our show. Kevin Stefanski was on, obviously, and talked just how much are you going to get to see Shador tomorrow.
Shador will get the majority of the game, so he's going to get, call it 50 plays of game work, which I think will be great for him. I think Snoop will get him in there later in the game as well. Want to be smart about that with the fact that Tyler just got here, so don't want to just throw him out there. But if he's ready, we'll get him out there as well.
So 50 plays, I think you can chalk that up probably pretty close to like 3/4 of football, maybe a little bit more than 3/4 of football. So you're going to see a whole lot of Shador Sanders. So that for me is like, that's check number one. Right, you're at least handling the preseason game the proper way after adding in another quarterback. which is give Shador a majority of the reps because Tyler Huntley is not going to be the starting quarterback at any point this year. We can all agree on that. If he starts a game, well, talk to me in week 15 when it's happening. And I'm not going to be as excited as I am right now. I'm going to be very upset. I'm going to be very angry probably about the way that the season's going and probably just defeated at that point. But in reality, he shouldn't at any point start a game this year or play in any regular season game this year. He should not make the roster. So yes, you've made the correct decisions to start. So you're going to see plenty of Shador Sanders, which, I mean, break it down how it's going to lay out. Early in the game, I expect Shador to struggle. Not only because he's going up against the first team defense, but it's his first NFL game action. Like, I'm sure a little bit of the jitters will be there. You'll have to work through some butterflies. You'll have to adapt to NFL game speed. So I expect him to struggle in the beginning. I'm looking more towards how are you going to adjust when there's second and third teamers in there? Right? When you get back to the backups and the guys who probably aren't even playing in a backup role, are you then able to clean things up and look better and make the right reads and right decisions and everything and still be working on the things that you need to work on? That's where I expect him to get a bulk of, here's, if you're going to look good, you should look good here. So, yeah, I'm going to want to see great play out of Shador early, but it's not just going to be that. Again, I think it's important that we look at not the stats. Like, I'm going to emphasize that heavily here, that you don't come away from this. I don't want to hear anybody calling up on Monday and telling me, Shador went 18 of 23, you got to play him more. Because if Shador went 18 of 23 and got great protection from the offensive line, but still sat there in the pocket for 8 seconds and then delivered a ball where a wide receiver just happened to work open and he's drifting back in the pocket and doing all the things that he shouldn't, I'm still going to be able to look around and go, well, I can see why he's not out there with the first team right now. I can see why he's still, you know, handling and being handled the way that he is and not getting the reps that everybody wants him to get. So I think obviously stats are going to be an indicator. Like, if you play well, you play well, but it's not about going out and winning a preseason game. I don't know about you guys, but I'm putting no stock into the Browns, whether they win or lose. And if you are, God help your soul, because that's a very miserable way to live the very early season of the NFL. But yeah, I don't care if they win. I'm looking at the small things. I want to see how they're adjusting. And Mary Kay Cabot touched on that earlier on today on the station, and really what Shador is going through and having to work on. Let's hear what Mary Kay had to say.
The plan is with Shador has been to bring him along and get him up to the speed to the point where he can go out there and function effectively against pro defenses, know what he's seeing, know what he's calling, and know what he's doing. He came in a little bit behind, let's just say Dylan Gabriel, just in terms of the pre-snap process. And what the Browns have done, they take him sometimes. Early on, they were taking him over to a separate field and working with him over there. He's been working overtime on the terminology and the play calling. It's not easy to do that. And they have been making sure that he can go out there and do that effectively. And he's going to have to do that effectively in the game tomorrow night.
So, again, those are all of the things that I think are really important. And I think a lot of that falls on Shador. But you hear Mary Kay say, like, he's been working overtime on those things. He's been putting in the extra work that's not asked of him on the football field to get that done. And that has been the report throughout camp, is that Shador's been progressing quickly. He's been working on all of that, and he's been making progress. And it was Deshaun taking him under his wing and helping him with those things. It was Shador apparently being a quick learner. We've had all of these reports. So yeah, I think in one way, as much as I'm evaluating Shador on how well he's going to be able to do that, I think this is also partially an evaluation on the Browns too, right? Like, if you knew coming in, and I think everybody knew coming in, those were the problems that Shador had. The Panthers defense is going to know those are the problems. Like, I'm sure you're going to see, you know, heavy pressure packages against Shador Sanders where they're going to blitz him and they're going to try to get after him just to try and affect him and see not only what they have, but hey, what can Shador do? Like, if I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm talking to Dave Canales and being like, don't let up the pressure, just let up the pressure. Like, obviously you do you. You guys run your defense. But let's make sure we're throwing some pressure looks at Shador too if we can, okay? Like, if we can get a little bit here and I can help evaluate one of your guys, I can do something for you. I'll talk to Jim Schwartz, you do a little something for me. I'd 100% be asking that. But as much as that is, again, an evaluation on Shedeur Sanders, it's the evaluation on the Browns. You've had him in camp, you know, 11 days plus a joint practice. You've had him through rookie OTAs and everything else where you've been addressing this problem. You've been trying to fix it. Okay, so how great are you at developing a quarterback? Because we all know you're on a one-year timeline. We all know, you know, that you have to get these quarterbacks ready to play at some point this year. That should be, in some way, a goal that you're working towards. Yes, try to win games with Joe Flacco, start in week one, whatever you want. But part of what you're supposed to work towards is getting the rookie quarterbacks ready. Work on Dylan with what he needs to fix, and work on Shedeur with what he needs to fix. So if he comes in and still looks like the quarterback that's holding onto the ball too long, I think that's also a reflection on Brown's development. We all know the talent with Shedeur is undeniable. Like, despite him falling to the fifth round, I don't think anybody looked at him and went, that's a bad football player. It's a very high-value player in the fifth round that probably should have went earlier. So, if I'm evaluating him and the way he's going to play, I have to evaluate the Browns to say, okay, you drafted a guy with talent, with a high ceiling, that needed to work on some very fundamental things. Things that aren't necessarily easy to fix, but it should be something you're working through that I don't see it on every single play. I shouldn't watch Shedeur Sanders drop back and be terrified every single time that he gets pressure up the middle, that he just continues to drift and drift and drift or hold on to the ball too long, try to be the superhero on the field. Sure, if it happens a couple of times, that's not on the Browns. If it happens every single play where something breaks down and I'm watching Shedeur Sanders that played at Colorado against better defense now, I'm also going to flip that look at the Browns and go, what have you been doing over the past 12 days? He's been thrown to equipment managers and ball boys, supposedly having to work on these things. But if he's making no progress, that's partially on your development too. You have to get him ready. You're supposed to get these rookies ready. And if he's showing no improvement from the day he walked into the building, well, then you haven't been doing your job either. And you've shown me that's supposed to be the focus. Right, Joe is starting week one, but you've held him out from a lot of training camp to get everybody else ready. Show me you can do that. 216-474-0092. What do you expect from Shedeur Sanders tomorrow? What are you going to be evaluating as well? We're going to talk Guardians coming up here in about 5 minutes. I want to know what you're most concerned about with this team right now as they head into the final stretch of the season. Again, jump in. 216-474-0092. We'll get to it all coming up here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. On Overtime, and we were asking you before we went to break there at 216-474-0092, what do you expect from Shedeur Sanders tomorrow? We're going to get to talking Guardians here in just a couple of minutes, but I do want to go out to the phones and talk to Drake, who's in Cleveland. What's going on, Drake?
Nothing much. I just wanted to verify, what coach did we hear say that Shedeur was struggling with play calling and got to get that together? Because I haven't heard anybody say that but Mary Kay and Grossi.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just, no coach has come out and said that, but I think that is the evaluation that a lot of people had with him coming out of the combine, is that was the thing that he struggled with. I mean, a lot of
coming out of the combine, we've been in training camp, we've been in open, like, come on, we talking about, y'all still talking about draft stuff, pre-draft stuff, and he's been in camp for a long time showing what he can do, and it's been over 70% every, so if he don't know the playbook, and he's throwing 70% of passes, imagine what the hell he'd do if you saying that he don't know the playbook. So what would he do when he learn the playbook?
Drake, it's not that he doesn't know the playbook. It's working through pre-snap adjustments of adjusting your protection.
Pat Shurmur was his offensive coordinator. Pat Shurmur is here in Cleveland. What are we talking about? Like,
Pat Shurmur is not in Cleveland right now.
Let's debunk this BS. Pat Shurmur was in Cleveland running the same offense. The same offense
It's not the same offense here at all. Shedeur didn't go under center one time in college.
It's still the West Coast offense.
Yeah, it's the same principle of offense, right? Yes, it is a West Coast style offense, a zone scheme running offense.
Y'all need to stop. Y'all trying to bash Shedeur. I guess the guy that you wanted to teach a lesson.
I'm bashing Shedeur. Where am I bashing Shedeur? In what way have I bashed Shedeur? Where have I point to me? You're saying that what coaches said it? Where have I bashed Shedeur in the last 43 minutes of this show? Please.
I just wanted verification. That's all. I just wanted, because there's a lot of hearsay going around. I just wanted verification. Put some names on who said what. Because I ain't heard one coach say Shedeur was struggling with nothing.
No coach has come out and said anybody has struggled with anything. I haven't heard one of them.
Why is it?
Okay, so the Super Bowl, here we come. Start the music. Cue it up. Appreciate the call, Drake. Start the music. No coach has said anybody has struggled with anything. So the Browns are going to the Super Bowl and they're winning because none of the quarterbacks have a weakness. I mean, seriously, come on. Like, we're just acting like, well, Shador's been in training camp for 11 days. He's been here for 2 weeks. He should have fixed everything that was wrong with him when he was at Colorado. No, give me a break. Yes, guys, when they go from college to when they go for the pros, they struggle with things in college that typically they get away with because they're playing lesser talent that shows up a lot more in the pros. Shador did not have to make a ton of pre-snap adjustments in Colorado. He held onto the ball for far too long. He also drifts back in the pocket anytime that he gets any sort of pressure. Those are things that he's working on and working through. It just, I mean, different, you know, language that it's going to be run under, different play calls, and it's not even close to the same offense. Like, yes, it is a West Coast-style offense. Colorado also just ran, we're going to hope that Travis Hunter is better than you for 80% of their plays. Like, that was half of their offenses. We're going to out-athlete the other team. They just gave the ball to Travis Hunter, and at different points gave the ball to wide receivers that they felt were better than Big 12 corners, which, by the way, if you ever watch a Big 12 defense, yeah, a lot of the Colorado receivers are better than Big 12 corners. He's not just a perfect product. Yes, Shador is going to struggle. There are going to be things that he works through. And the same that there is with Dillon Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and yes, even a 40-year-old Joe Flacco has weaknesses in his game. In things that I'm sure he's still adjusting to, much less because he's been in the NFL for now going on 18 years. But there's still things that he struggles to get right. All of these guys have weaknesses, and especially the young guys have things to work through. So, like, if a coach doesn't come out and say it, Kevin Stefanski hasn't openly bashed one player, because what the hell does that do? It's also not the style of coach he is. Mike Vrabel might come out and say, well, Drake May looks like he couldn't throw a ball 25 yards to try to amp up Drake May, but that's just who Mike Vrabel is. I haven't heard Kevin Stefanski basically bash one player since the start of time. And neither of any of the other coaches. That's the way that the Browns run it. So, I don't know where on earth that I was bashing Shador. I'm treating him like as if he's a rookie quarterback and he's going to have things that he needs to work on, things that we know he needs to work on because we've been able to watch, 4 years of him starting in college football. We have 4 years of tape to realize these are the things he doesn't do well. And yes, I want you to develop some of those things is the Browns. I pointed to that. I want to see development on that. But it's not all up to, it's all on Shador. And it's all on the Browns. Like, there's an even mix there. Shador has to work through what he does wrong. The Browns have to help fix that. But 2 weeks of training camp doesn't right every wrong that you have. If that was the case, Josh Rosen might have a Super Bowl ring right now. But instead, he's playing God knows where, probably in a little cubicle in a finance office right about now. I just do not understand that. Again, not the same offense. The Browns will be under center for a majority of their plays, if not just about all of them tomorrow night. And Shador was not under center since like high school. I don't even know that he was under center in high school. He had pointed to where it was. It was high school or it was junior high the last time that he was running plays under center. So let's not act like these are the exact same offenses. And also Colorado did not base anything off of the run last year. They might have wanted to. They did not base a single thing off the run.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. A much happier tone, a much more positive tone, which maybe not, because we're going to talk bad on the Guardians. Not bad on them, but figure out what's bad about them. At 216-474-0092. I do want to know what you're most concerned about with the Guardians as they look to close out the season. Obviously, like we pointed to it yesterday, they have the best record in baseball since the All-Star break. They have been one of the hottest teams since they got back onto the field. And the offenses look good. The bullpen has looked serviceable. The rotation has been borderline stellar. So while everything is going right, I think we can all look around and be like, okay, this team was not the team that they were during a 10-game losing streak. They also are probably not exactly what they're playing like right now. Like, I think that is a fair assessment of this team. Yes, I'm excited about the way they're playing. I hope it continues. Can you go on a, well, quite frankly, a Tigers-esque run, because they did that for like 80 games and were playing out of their minds, but have now come back to earth. So I hope you can continue to do that, but I think at some point, whether that's at some point during the regular season or by the time that we actually get to the playoffs, this team is going to eventually become more of what they are. Even if it's slight regression, they're going to come back. And I do want to see different parts of the team, you know, actually go through their struggles a little bit. I want you to keep winning games, but I do want to find something that I am not ultra confident in, because I know this team has weaknesses. Like, the starting rotation at this point, I think I'm pretty solidified on. Like, that is the group that we are going to trust until the end of time with this team, or I guess the end of the season. But where we stand on them, and we are excited about them, and I think that you can trust, even if Tanner Bibee's not pitching great, he's pitched in the playoffs, I can trust him to go out there and start a playoff game, or I'm gonna do it anyway. And Slade has looked really good. Gavin has looked really good. Like, I'm not worried about them. And honestly, at some point right now, I've sort of even pulled back on my concerns with the offense, because you've gotten a little healthier. And the guys who I thought were playing well, but maybe the numbers weren't showing for it, have continued to do that. Again, that's your Angel Martinez's. That's your Gabriel Arias, I think, looked really good. All of them have gotten to a point where I feel pretty solid about the lineup, not top to bottom, but for a good portion of it. I still have my questions about Bo. I still have my questions about where you are with, you know, other with Austin Hedges, obviously. Like, that's not a great backup catcher. You don't have to hopefully see him that often. But, like, we have plenty of things to work through. It's to the point where I'm not good on the offense, but I think the offense might be good enough to get you through some points. I think my real concern at this point comes in with the bullpen of the Guardians. Like, if you get to a playoff series, I'm looking at a bullpen where I trust Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis. And the buck stops there. I don't trust anybody else in that bullpen right now. Like, you're going to keep throwing Matt Fest at me, and I'm going to have no clue what I'm actually looking at, because if Matt Fest comes in the seventh inning, if you make it to a playoff game, I might go insane. And I'm going to be biting my nails down to the stub, nervous just watching them go out and do it. So that's where I think I look at it, and I'm like, I just can't have a boatload of faith and going through and trusting those guys to get it done. Like, that's where I look at it, and I have a ton of it just borderline concern. And there's no way to adjust it at this point, right? Like, we're past the trade deadline. You have no way to go through and make adjustments and be able to trust the bullpen or bring in guys that you could trust in the bullpen. You have what you have right now. You'll be able to add a pitcher, but I'm guessing if you had a guy sitting down in AAA right now, you'd have more guys to trust. Like, yes, Nick Enright's been good. I can have some faith in Nick Enright, but he's also a rookie. I just have genuine concerns on where that part of the offense, or where that part of the team stands, excuse me, where everything's high and tidy right now. We are flying high with the Guardians. I just have legitimate concerns going forward. And even if you can make it to a playoff spot, I just don't know what part's going to break, but I'd be willing to bank it's the bullpen. Those are the guys I wouldn't trust. Sure, you can put Joey Cantillo in there. I can try to use Logan Allen as a long reliever. Those aren't guys I have a ton of faith in either. All right, let's leave that there for a second. I want to go back out to the phones. Kenny's in California. Want to chime in on Shador. What's going on, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing today?
We're doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I kind of wanted to comment on the Shador Sanders situation. I am an avid football fan. I've been my entire life. What frustrates me as a football fan and a person who's also played college football is that we seem to forget his play, his moxie, his ability to play under the circumstances in which he had one of the worst offensive lines. And if you watch his whole college career, this kid is a playmaker. He has been tough. He has been able to dissect defenses, and he hasn't always had the best situation. To me, it feels like Cleveland is literally dropping the ball. And I kind of agree with the gentleman who was speaking about Shador and says, hey, why not see what we have? Why not give him a fair shot? They keep saying it's a QB competition, but he's not getting a fair shot. And I don't understand, and it just blows me away. Like, we forgot what this kid did in college. They don't just give that award away, the heralded best QB award in college, but all that goes away, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't go away, and Kenny, in a lot of ways, like, it drove me nuts, because I've been on the essentially Shador train since it started. Like, I did a whole quarterback big board for the Browns on who I would have, and Shador sat number one for months on months, and he was the quarterback that I wanted. I also, like, he has all those things, and I think the ceiling is incredibly high. I just also think, like, like, if we go out on Friday, and I'm expecting Shador just to dice up a first-team defense and even a second-team defense in the NFL, knowing that he's playing with a backup offensive line, like, we're going a little crazy there, too. Like, the offensive line's probably not going to be great. And if it's not healthy in the regular season, if he actually does get a chance to start, it's also probably not going to be impeccable that way either. Like, he still has things to battle through, and it only ramps up, obviously, when you get to the NFL.
Right, right. And then when you look in terms of the other QBs, other than Cam Ward that were drafted before him, you cannot take an overall look at their college career and say that these guys were that much better than Shador.
No.
Like in their situations, they're given a fair opportunity. And you cannot, if you watch any of his film, especially his last year at Colorado, the things this kid did, man, I mean, just even in crunch time, and his throws, his accuracy, like college-level throws, the layering of his passes under extreme heat. I mean, he was beat down by opposing defenses. They had no running game, and no one's talking about this, right? What's the quarterback's best friend? Running game, other than the offensive line. Yeah. He had the worst running game. I mean, if you lined up against Colorado, you almost knew they were going to throw the ball 80% of the time.
And Kenny, I appreciate you making the call. I'm on the other side of it. I got to let you go. I'm up against it. But I will say, like, again, I think Shador did a lot of things great. I also think that you get away with a few things in college that you don't get away with in the pros. Like, that's the big thing. So is he getting a fair shot to be the number one quarterback right now? No. Do I think he's getting a shot to actually improve the things that he has to work on and hopefully eventually get that shot? Yes. All right, 216-474-0092. At this point, you can chime in Shador, you can chime in Guardians, we were talking, but we're going to get a grip in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.